My lord, ladies, gentlemen, your referee for the contest, Kenneth Man Mountain. Ho!
The MC was, of course, Hugh Paddock, the wrestling vicar of St. Barnabas without. Well. All right, Smith, make the announcement.
Yes, sir, but first, a word from our sponsor. Is your horse a wallflower at dances? Does he stand in the corner alone? Persuade his best friend to whisper in his ear, UFO. Under fetlock odor. Smith. Buy him some Dobby Mist, the horse deodorant that 9 out of 10 Hollywood stars prefer.
Smith, have you got the mania again?
No, sir, I've been got at. Offered money to plug the product. You see, I'm only paid a pittance for announcing. I'm feeling the pinch.
Look, Oak, I'm sorry. I had no idea. Here's something to get on with.
Oh, thank you, sir. A pair of steps. And now, Armpit Theatre presents a tale of the gay bohemian life of Paris in the 80s. Trilby.
My name is William Mandergast, known as Little Billy, for reasons I don't care to go into. I'm a painter, and in the year 1880, I came to Paris to pursue my bent. Ah, the Montmartre of the 80s, a hotbed of talent. There was the sculptor Rodin.
I chip away a little here. I chip away a little there. A little more here. And voila. You can see right through into the bedroom next door. It's magnificent. The lovers.
The Paris of Cézanne.
Gentlemen, the toast is Cézanne. It's a funicle man. A funicle man.
I moved into a garret which I shared with several other impoverished artists. There was me, Little Billy, my best friend, incredibly tiny Fred, economy size Alf, and relatively enormous Cyril. And although we were cold, hungry, miserable, damp, and poor, somehow, when we were together, it was very much worse. But we got by somehow.
Ça va, Little Billy?
Ça va, incredibly tiny Fred.
Oh, where have you been?
To the flea market and see what I bought.
Eh, fine flea! Tonight we dine royally.
Oh, indeed. If we are careful, there'll be enough for sandwiches for tomorrow.
Well said, relatively enormous Cyril.
Bag's Eye the Wishbone.
Bag's Eye what?
Bag's Eye the Wishbone.
Oh, yes, of course you are. And how is the painting going, incredibly tiny Fred?
Oh, not bad. This is my latest in the 18th century manner. Cupid in Aphrodite's bedchamber. After what, oh?
So I see. Come in.
My name is Trilby. Forgive the intrusion, but I was told there's a room to let.
Oh, I'm sorry, it is taken.
Can't I move in with you and share your gay bohemian life?
There's no place here for a woman.
But I could cook for you.
Well, we do our own cooking.
I could darn your clothes.
We do our own darning.
There must be something I can do for you.
She'll be moved in next step. She wanted to become a singer, and I helped her as best I could, struggling through her Tosca on the piano, and whenever she asked, running through her Donizetti.
Dear, dear little Billy, can we try it just once more?
All right, then, and then we must stop. My tiny hands are frozen. One, two.
How was I that time?
Well, better, but it still lacks a little something.
Perhaps if I tried it without the trumpet and the handkerchief.
Yes.
You see, I've never had any proper training. My agrippaturas need polishing.
Yes. I like them the way they are.
A
without indeed the occasional wipe down with a damp chamois.
No, no, no. I must get a proper teacher.
Incredibly tiny Fred. Look in the paper under Les Classified.
Ah, oui. Ah, here we are. Full-size reproduction of the Eiffel Tower, 7 francs. Postage and packing, 12 million francs.
Yes, now let me see. Oh, yeah, tuition varies. Oh, you don't want to learn that. And you already know how to do that? That looks interesting, but I don't think we've got the room for it.
There, look. Professor Svengali, singing teacher, hypnotist, abductor of innocent girls, competitive prices. Oh, satisfaction guaranteed.
Don't go to him, he's notorious. He'll lead you astray. He'll get you in his power and make you his slave. There's nothing he won't stoop to satisfy his evil desires.
Nothing?
Nothing.
She'll be enrolled next day.
So, you are Svengali, the evil mastermind whose vile pursuits are a synonym for all that is bestial and base.
Oh, no, dearie, I'm Mrs. Bulstrode, the char. Yes. Mr. Svengali's in the scullery hypnotizing the cheese. Yes. I'll call him. Oi, Arthur! Shop!
My dear, pray accept an old loony's welcome. So you want me to teach you my method?
Yes, and to sing too.
How did you hear of me? Why did you come to me?
All Paris speaks of your strange behavior. Oh, they say you have no scruples.
It is true, but what need have I of scruples? All I want are material things, money, houses, women, Batman, Jim Jams. For the trappings of luxury, I'll stop at nothing to get what I want. And I want you, Trilby. I want you for my slave.
Your slave?
Yes, he hasn't got a trophy. I will make you a great singer. I've taught them all. Jenny Lind, the Swedish Nightingale. Cilla Black, the Liverpool Ostrich. Dame Nellie Melba, Mrs. Miller.
Mrs. Miller?
You should have heard her before she came to me. They all fall in love with me, my pupils. That's why I had to stop teaching Harry Seacombe. But you are different from Harry Seacombe, that is.
Do you really think so?
Yes, you may not be as pretty, but you're different. Oh, by George, you're different.
Oh, that's the nicest thing anyone has ever said to me. Svengali, I am yours.
Good girl. Lie on this couch, and I'll show you my method. Now, look at this small, shiny object I'm dangling in front of you. Now, concentrate, go to sleep. Deeper, deeper, you are completely in my power. Now sing, my little beauty, sing.
Now, this is not the one. Mr. Ory just began Romeo.
Not you, dear. Not you, Mrs. Bulstrode. Get on with the housework.
All right, Arthur.
Oh, she's a trial.
Three and six an hour, you can't grumble.
Now, Trilby, my child. You are hypnotized. When I snap my fingers, you will sing as you've never sung before.
As I have never sung before.
Right. 1, 2.
Come with an aloha, which you are a whiskey.
Yes. This is going to take longer than I thought.
With Trilby completely under Svengali's spell, little Billy went downhill fast. His life became one round of drink and women.
Waiter, another round of drinks and women.
Make him large one. I'll have a rum and coquette. Come here, Fifi, darling. You're a pretty little thing.
Well, thank you, sir. I made a special effort.
You, Smith, a creature of the half-world?
Yes, it was the only part left.
Well, you might at least have done it in a high-pitched voice.
Little Billy!
What is it, incredibly tiny Fred?
This life you're leading is no good. No. What are you doing with a woman like this? You must stop it. Please, stop it! At least when I'm talking to you.
Trilby, but she's the most famous singer in Paris now. She doesn't need me. She has Svengali.
She misses you, little Billy. Won't you see her? She sings tonight at the opera house. I have a little box, little Billy.
Have you incredibly tiny friend?
Come, little Billy, to the opera.
Meanwhile, backstage at the opera house, Trilby and the evil Minda are preparing for the performance.
There, my dear, a little eye shadow, a hint of rouge, and there a beauty spot, and just a little powder. There, how do I look?
Very nice. But what about me? I'm so terribly nervous. I don't think I can go on.
You must go on. You must. You hear? You've got to do it, kid. This is your big break, kid. They'll find let us down. They believe in you out there. I believe in you, kid. You're going to be a star. I, Svengali, order you. You don't be afraid. I shall be with you. I am right behind you. Urging you on.
That's another letter. Please, Mr. Svengali, when I'm singing, do you have to hide under my crinoline?
Aha, Svengali.
Aha, little Billy.
Ah, let her go, Svengali. You can bring her nothing but misery.
Nobody will have her but me. Stand back.
He's got a knife.
With an attachment for getting things out of horses' hooves.
Quick, somebody distract him with a horse.
Here, Dobbin.
It is I, Douglas the Wonder Horse Smith. In a skin. Limp, limp.
Why, look, Svengali, this announcer disguised as a horse has a thing in its hoof.
I have just the implement for removing same. Allow me, Dobbin.
While his attention was thus distracted, I leapt on him. We grappled. Don't look, my dear. He's not a pretty sight.
Is he?
Yes. Yes, dead. Impaled on his own attachment for getting things out of horses. So Svengali perished, but without him, Trilby's voice had gone. She sank lower and lower until the BBC, in their infinite wisdom, took pity on the poor creature and did the only thing they could for the piteous wretch. They entered her for the Eurovision Song Contest 1887. And talking of piteous wretches, here are the Fraser Hayes Four. And if I dangle this shiny object in front of them, it's half a crown, actually, they will burst into It's a Good Day. Ladies and gentlemen, the Fraser Hayes Four.
It's a good day for singing a song, and it's a good day for moving along. Yes, it's a good day. How could anything go wrong? A good day from morning to night. Yes, it's a good day for shining your shoes, and it's a good day for losing the blues. Everything to gain and nothing to lose, cause it's a good day from morning to night. I say to the sun, good morning sun, rise and shine today. You know you gotta get going if you gotta make a showing.
And you've got a lot of work,
cause it's it's a good day for paying your bills, and it's a good day for curing your ills. So take a deep breath and throw away your bills. It's a good day from morning till night. Yes, it's a good day to sing in the song, and it's a good day for moving along. Yes, it's a good day. How could anything go wrong? It's a good day from morning till night. Yes, it's a good day for shining your shoes, and it's a good day for everything you gain and nothing to lose. Good day from morning till night. I said the sun, morning sun, rise and shine today. You know you've got to get going if you're gonna make a showing, and you've got the right of way. Cause it's a good day for paying your bills, and it's a good day for curing your ills. Take a deep breath and throw away your bills. It's a good day from morning till night. It's a good day from morning till night. It's a most remarkable day, morning till night.
The Round the Horn Color Supplement.
This week in black and white. Now, first, great classic dishes of France. And here with the recipe is Bonne Femme, better known as Daphne Whitefire.
In this series, I have already told you how to prepare chicken in the basket, turkey in the straw, dog in the manger, and cat on a hot tin roof. This week, I'm going to tell you a couple of things any housewife can do with a rhinoceros. First, you take your rhinoceros and pluck it. Don't throw away the hooves. They'll come in useful if you ever want to make rhinoceros foot jelly. Now, sprinkle your rhinoceros with caraway seed and wrap him in tinfoil. You'll need 57 yards. Add a walrus cube to give it man appeal. And pop the rhino in the oven, or as much as you can get in. Roast on a low light for 18 months and serve with rather a lot of chips. To be honest, rhinoceros is not very appetizing, but you do get marvelous crackling.
And next week, Daphne will be back to tell us what to do with those whale leftovers. Now, around town, Sunday night personality Seamus Android interviews film star Rock Casamore.
Hello. Well, now. All right. Well, we've had a bit of fun. And to start off firstly, Rock, I'd like to ask you one last question. Before we start. All right. Well, it's been most interesting hearing your opinions, but that's all we've got time for, so it's good night now from Seamus Android.
Yes. And thank you, Seamus Android, the man of the day. The day being gloomy Sunday. And so to... So to what's on in London with Brad Smallpiece.
Oh, it's all been happening on the swinging London scene this week. There's the policeman's puma crouching at Wimbledon, vestigial gnome tumbling at Lutonoo, and a display of traffic warden mincing at the Alhambra football show. But I myself would plump for the nudist hop, step and jump contest in the deep freeze at Woolbridge's. Clapham Common.
And there'll be edited highlights after the epilogue. I can't wait for the slow-motion sequences. However, this week the colour supplement takes a look at the British press. British newspapers are much maligned. People say that their function is much better performed by television and radio newscasters, but you can't wrap your chips in Michael Aspel. Vinegar drips out of his pockets. And you can't spread Robin Day out on the floor for the dog, however much you'd like to. Still, newspaper men are a hardy and adventurous breed, but the good reporter should be able to turn his hand to anything.
Loom Bucket. I'd like a word with you.
Yes, Chief?
We transferred you from the sports page to the society column. We hoped you'd leave the jargon of the football field behind you.
How do you mean, Chief?
Well, look at your column for yesterday. You do not refer to the Duke of Cumberford's new wife as £20,000 buy from West Bromwich.
Well, sir, I mean...
Whatever her reasons may have been for marrying him. And when referring to his ex-wife, you say they were divorced on the grounds of incompatibility, not he put her on the transfer list because she lost her form. And another thing. And finally, when you're covering Lord Mulstrangle's garden party, which incidentally takes place on the lawn, not on the pitch, you do not refer to the gracious guests as those hooligans on the terraces.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir.
If you don't watch it, you'll be selling papers, not writing them.
Oh, right, sir. Sorry. And the newspaper sellers, they too have a language of their own.
Read all about it in the news, you sell papers, don't you? Read all about it, read all about it, read all about it,
excuse me. Excuse me, my good man. Can you please direct me to Trafalgar Square?
Yes, lady, you go. And you ask again.
Before the days of newspapers, the events of the day were retailed by the street ballad singers. And here to sing one such 18th century ditty, the Ballad of the Woggler's Mooley, is Rambling Sid Rumper. Now, what exactly is a Woggler's Mooley?
Well, a mooley is a sort of smoked cuttlefish of the whelk family, or brother-in-law, you might say.
Yes.
And they were considered a great delicacy in those days. And, of course, they had to be woggled before you could eat them.
Yes, of course. Now, nowadays you can get them frozen and pre-woggled, but they don't taste the same, do they?
No. Now, this is a sad story that first appeared in 1738 on a broadsheet, and I've set it to a tune of that time, which I found in my gander bag covered in loom powder and fish paste.
Fish paste. Yes, what exactly is loom powder?
If I started explaining, that would be your own night. Now, so to the song.
Joe, he was a young court wangler, munging greebles he did go. And he loved a bogler's daughter by the name of Chiswick Flo. Vain she was, and like a grasset, though her gander parts were fine. But she sneered at his cord wangle as it hung upon the line. So he stole a woggler's mooley for to make a wedding ring. But the Bow Street runners caught him, and the judge said he will swing. Oh, they hung him by the postern, nailed his mooley to the fence, for to warn all young court wanglers that it was a grave offence. There's a moral to this story, though your court wangle be poor. Keep your hands off others' mooleys, for it is against the law.
And thank you, Rambling Sid. I feel there's a warning for us all there. He who steals my woggler's mooley steals trash. Now, many people complain that they are misrepresented by the press and the reporters don't respect their privacy. Well, this certainly hasn't been my experience until last Tuesday, when two representatives of the Fourth Estate came to interview me.
Good morning, I'm Julian. This is my friend Sandy.
Yes, we're from the Daily Polari. Yes. He's the man you follow around. I'm the one you can't gag. Can't gag.
True. Can we have 5 minutes of your time?
Well, it depends what you want to do with them.
No! Well, our editor said, why don't you stroll off up to Mr. Orne's Latte?
That's flat or house, translator's note.
Yes, that's, and have a palaver with him, you see.
Yes, yes. We'd like to have something hot and personal. Mm.
Well, how, how about this mustard plaster?
No!
No, thanks. Just had breakfast.
Yeah. Now, how did you two become news hounds?
Well, we was Aunt Ada.
You know Aunt Ada. Yes, yeah, advice for the lovelorn. The lovelorn, you know, polones with pimples in love with older men, you know. All that sort of thing.
And you advised them?
Yeah. Well, we'd done what we could, but we ran into a few snags, didn't we?
No. Say that again. Oh, hi.
Yeah. Well, what about, well, for instance, Indignant at Chatham. Remember him saying...
Do I? Indignant at Chatham? Do I? It's etched on my memory, that is, Indignant at Chatham.
More of a deal.
Oh, yes.
He took your advice?
Yes, and he's still indignant.
Yes. No. Is that to move from Chatham?
Yeah.
What about that Curly of Wimbledon?
Oh, yeah, he had a personal problem. We told him what to do in a plain envelope.
Yeah. Oh, no.
And what's more, I tried to. It was absolutely useless.
Ian, are you Curly from Wimbledon?
Not anymore, I'm not, thanks to your advice.
Still, it's cured the blushing.
Yeah.
Now, what did you come to see me about?
Well, we heard you'd done something absolutely staggering with a mara.
Mara?
At the church hall.
Yes.
Church hall? Oh, yes, the vicar's wife was astounded.
Now, fair. Well, we can't go back to our editor with a story about how you won a prize for a mara.
Not likely.
No,
I mean, where's the titillation in there?
No titillation.
No.
Well, we've got to tart the story up somehow. Whip out your reporter's companion. Take this down, dictation, take this down. Now, yes. Mr. Horn, let me see. Is that a picture of you on the wall?
Yes, it was taken when I was 18 months on a bearskin rug.
Oh, it is a good likeness.
Mm. Right, get this down, Jules. Kenneth Horn, former nude photographic model. Let me see. You won this competition, did you?
Yeah.
Yes. Did the vicar charge an entrance fee?
Yes, there was a small charge.
Right, yes, Jules, I've got it. I've got it. I've got the headline. Mm. Kenneth Horn, nude photographic model, admits vicar's charge.
They printed it, and of course I complained, and the next week they published an apology, blazoned in letters nearly an eighth of an inch high, next to the chest problem. Cheerio, see you next week.
That was Round the Horn, starring Kenneth Horn, with Jenneth Williams, Hugh Paddick, Betty Marsden, and Bill Pertwee. On the musical side, you heard the Fraser Hayes Four and Edwin Braden and the Hornblowers. The script was written by Barry Took and Marty Feldman, and the show is produced by John Simmons.